About a month or so ago, Apple, how many people are Apple people? You know, you're either PC people or you're Apple people. And so you got iPhones or the Samsung. And what Apple does in its marketing genius, every so often they have these events where the CEO of Apple comes out and he announces, you know, oh, we're bringing out a new iPad, or we're bringing out, I guess we're right now waiting for the iPhone 7, or some other updates, or, you know, some different features. And the last event, you know, everyone anticipated, what are they going to say? Really, the bulk of his announcement was that they were enhancing in the new update a way for us to use better emojis. How many people know what emojis are? Okay, that's the smiley face or the sad face or the laughing with the tears. And I mean, they made this big deal about emojis. And you know, you have Apple fanatics that were like, oh, this is gonna change the world, man. We got 3D emojis, emotions on social media. There is no other place that you just see a barrage of emotions on a daily basis, and a place where people are so readily available or forthcoming with their emotions. People have done research on social media, and that people actually, when they put a post, and when they get the reaction that they so longing or so much desire, it actually becomes like an addiction. There's a high that you feel when people stroke that emotion that you're trying to garner. And similarly, when you don't get the reaction that you want, you have this opposite emotion. It's a very powerful thing, and social media is really changing the way that we do life, we live life, and changing the way that we even interact with each other. But social media, like many entities in our society, affirms this, that humans, people, we have emotions. We have emotions that do things. It causes physical. It causes our face. There's a psychologist that did some fabulous and remarkable research on the way emotions translate into our facial expressions. Like, why is it that our facial expressions does this when we're sad or when we're angry or when we're joyful? I mean, just fascinating stuff. I grew up in a church tradition that was not too high on emotions. Very, very frankly, we were encouraged to check our emotions at the door. And we were encouraged to come inside the church and put on our intellectual, our mind, and that's what it was about. Just the emotions we can do away with. I was part of a singing group called the Sons of Harmony. I think that's a really cool name. I was a part of the Sons of Harmony, and a lot of old time gospel standards shared a lot of the same lyrics. And I remember one of the lyrics that it seemed no matter what song we were singing, this one line or lyric was going to be in that song, and it was this lyric. Sometimes I'm up and sometimes I'm down. And, you know, then with the Lord, he turned my life around, you know, whatever. But sometimes I'm up and sometimes I'm down. It just seemed like it was in almost every song that we sung. And I remember one Sunday, the preacher got up and he preached a sermon about how terrible that lyric was. And that as Christians, we're never up and then we're down. As Christians, we're always up. There is no down in Jesus Christ. So how does that make the person who feels down, how do they feel when they hear that a good Christian is always up? Well, you can imagine that there are a lot of people who struggle with that. And when they struggle with being sad or being depressed or even mourning the loss of their loved ones, it was almost as if, you know, you cry a little bit and then you get over it. Because Christians are up. They're never down. I want you to capture that, you know, file that away in your mind as we read this passage. And then I just want to share a few moments on what we plan to do over the next several weeks. I think it's going to be kind of fun. Might be a little crazy, might be a little out there, but want you to stay with me. Psalm 139. It's a familiar passage in the Psalms. We've been in the Psalms a lot. We, you know, again did a series on disorientation. We just finished up a series on new orientation. I'm going to read Psalm 139. This is an example of a psalm of orientation. This is a psalm about how things are, how things should be. Psalm 139. It says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Here the psalmist speaks of the marvelous work that God has done in forming this individual and creating the inmost parts and the outmost parts and everything. And we know from the book of Genesis that we were made in the image of God. And whatever that means, I don't know if you've ever just taken time to grasp what that means to be made in his image, to look like God, to resemble God. But whatever that means, we know that God has shaped us and formed us and we are complex and we're you go to the hospital and you hear doctors talk about how this organ works with this and how this produces this to control this and how this and you get lost with all that talk, but you walk away with an appreciation because, oh my goodness, the human body is just so wonderfully made. There's just so many things that goes on, and it's so beautiful and it's so powerful. But it's not just physical and flesh, and it's not just spiritual. It's also emotional. We have been created with physical parts. We've been created to be spiritual beings, and we have been created with emotions. Peter Scazzaro, an author who wrote a book called Emotional Healthy Spirituality, which is a book that has been very helpful in me understanding myself as a person, as a husband and father, and as a minister. He says one of the best ways to get in touch with your Creator is to have an understanding of your emotions that your Creator created you with? Have you ever probed the question, why do I have sadness? Why do I have anger? Why do I have fear? Why do I have joy? Why do I have disgust? These emotions are in us, and we all share them. Now, sometimes what we try to do is we try to rank the emotions and say, well, this emotion is better than these other emotions, so I'd rather be just this emotion and try to distance myself from all of those emotions. But what we need to understand and know is that we have these emotions for a reason. Look at the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus wasn't all joy. There were times where he got angry. There were times when he was sad. There were times when he was disgusted. And there were times when he was fearful. We were made in the image of God. And if Jesus had these emotions, what makes us think that we don't have these emotions or that we should somehow exalt one emotion over the other? Enter a cartoon by the name of Inside Out. How many people have seen this cartoon? This cartoon is it's fascinating. Now, it was made by Pixar and Disney, and so it's meant to be a children's, you know, film. But I remember when I first saw the trailer for this cartoon, I said to myself, I am going to see that. I've got to see that. I mean, I've got to take my kids to go see this cartoon. I was just so fascinated by the concept, and I was not disappointed. I walked away from this film saying, I wonder if the makers of this film realized that it was going to have the impact on adults that it would have on the child. I'm sure they made it for children, but there's something about this film. Now, in studying for this series and looking at the background of this film, this film is based on a scientific study, the study that I referred to before, the psychologist studying emotions and facial expressions. They based this film on that research, and it's a fascinating film. What we want to do over the next several weeks is we want to probe some of the themes from this film, and we want to talk about emotions. We want to talk about emotional health. And we want to talk about it in a way that stems from our understanding of Scripture and what God has told us about our emotions. This week, if you've not watched the film, I want you to rent it or borrow it. I've got a copy on Blu-ray if you want to use it. I want you to just watch the film. Get with your family. Get some popcorn and watch the film. If you watched it before, watch it again. Watch it again, and we're just going to probe these emotions and have fun with some of these characters. Now, I want to just take a moment right now and just kind of introduce you to the characters of the film. There are five primary characters, the emotions. These emotions are in the head of 11-year-old girl by the name of Riley. Riley is a 11-year-old girl who lives in Minnesota, and her family father gets a job in San Francisco, and so she moves to San Francisco, and what we see throughout the film is how Riley is dealing emotionally with this new journey in her life. And so we get literally a glimpse, literally. We get a glimpse, it's a cartoon, we get a glimpse in her head. So let's take a moment and let's acquaint ourselves with the emotions in this film.
I'm Amy Poehler, and I play Joy in Disney Pixar's new movie, Inside Out. Joy is pretty awesome. She's cheerful, yeah. Upbeat,
what?
And always knows how to turn that frown upside down. Now, don't get me wrong, everyone needs fear, disgust, anger, sadness, right? But Joy, she's the one you want at the party. She's all about keeping things happy, exciting, and most importantly, fun. And who doesn't like fun? No, seriously, who doesn't like fun? Bring them out here, because they are wrong. They're dead wrong. If there's one thing these different emotions have in common, It's that they're all about taking care of you. Perfect day. Nice job, everybody. In Disney Pixar's Inside Out, get ready to meet the little voices inside your head. Hang on.
I'm Phyllis Smith, and I play Sadness in Disney Pixar's Inside Out. Feeling down?
Oh, we just fell down.
Things just not going your way?
We should cry.
Sadness, no!
You'll feel better about things after a solid, sad session.
I'm entering a sadness spiral.
Sadness doesn't judge. She's right there with you. So pull out your hanky and enjoy a good cry. It's a tough job, but somebody's gotta do it.
That's sad.
I should drive, right? There's one thing these different emotions have in common. It's that they're all about taking care of you. In Disney Pixar's Inside Out, get ready to meet the little voices inside your head.
Oh, is it all gonna be so interactive?
I'm Louis Black, and I play Anger in Disney Pixar's Inside Out. Who's Anger?
What?
He's that feeling in the back of your head when you stub your toe, or you end up stuck in traffic, or have your dinner interrupted by a telemarketer. Hang on, I'm getting a little worked up here.
Breathe, find your happy place.
Those other emotions are all too touchy-feely. I'm sad. I'm scared. Can I say that curse word now? Anger is all about getting the job done.
Time to take action.
So don't get in his way. Move. Otherwise, he might explode.
You wouldn't.
Oh, but I would.
Seriously. He only does it because he really cares, though. Promise.
I arrest my case.
I'm Mindy Kaling, and I play Disgust. In Disney Pixar's Inside Out. Life is full of little mistakes, wrong turns, and poor judgments.
Caution, there is a dangerous smell, people.
Disgust's job is to make sure that none of them happen to you. I just saved our lives. Yeah, you're welcome. Disgust has impeccable taste, which means making the hard call so you don't have to. Stripes and spots? Broccoli?
Ugh, don't even go there.
That's it. I'm done. The other emotions might think it's okay to let things slide, but disgust does better.
It could be worse.
Yeah, Joy. We could be lying on the dirty floor in a bag. So pay attention to that voice inside your head.
Cool kids whispering at 3 o'clock.
It might just save your social life someday.
Go, Riley!
Mom and Dad, with us in public? No, thank you. In Disney Pixar's Inside Out, get ready to meet the little voices inside your head. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give this day an F.
I'm Bill Hader, and I play Fear in Disney Pixar's Inside Out. I know what you're thinking. Who wants to be afraid all the time? But fear isn't just about screaming so hard and pass out from sheer terror. It's also about keeping you safe. Worst scenario is either quicksand, spontaneous combustion, or getting called on by the teacher. Without fear, you wouldn't avoid spooky caves. Bears. Don't get me started about bears. Otherwise, I'd be terrified right now. Plus, you all love being afraid sometimes. Like when you're watching a scary movie.
Those are shoes of doom!
But if there's one thing these different emotions have in common, it's that they're all taking care of you.
We did it, gang!
So relax.
Disney Pixar's Inside Out, get ready to meet the little voices inside your head.
We did not die today.
I call that an unqualified success.
Did you see, and I think a lot of the characters share that same line, that these emotions have been put in us to take care of us. There's no reason to think that we're broken if we get angry at things, or it's no reason to think that we're deficient if we're afraid. It's okay that there's just some things that just causes our stomach to just churn and disgust. It's okay in the midst of tragedy sometimes to have a joy about you. And it's okay sometimes to be sad, because often it's sadness that is the genesis of compassion and empathy. And it's okay that these emotions coexist with each other, just as we in this body, as different people, coexist with one another. And it's sometimes important that there's someone who's mourning to exist with someone who's joyful, and someone who's angry to exist with someone who's fearful and disgusted to interact with joy. That's part of the life cycle. That's part of how we were created. What's going on inside of our head is really also a reality that's going on outside of here. So what we want to do, again, over the next several weeks, is use this movie just as an illustration and a tool. We're gonna start with this, but I believe that this cartoon just does something so amazing. And we're going to look at next week. We'll look at one of the characters. Initially today we were to look at Joy, but like I said, I'm abbreviating today's sermon so that we can spend some time in prayer. So watch the movie. That's your homework, and you'll enjoy this. I'll be honest with you. There are moments in this film. It gets pretty dark. It gets pretty dark, and it can get pretty emotional, but it's about emotions. So watch it with an open heart and an open mind, and come ready to engage.